Hi, friends, and welcome to the By Faith Podcast. My name is Christine Hoover, and I'm so glad you're here. This season on By Faith, we are talking about the ins and outs of vocational ministry. I have a new book coming out in March 2022 called How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. One of the challenges of writing for pastors' wives is that we are all so different. We all approach our roles differently, live in different contexts, come from different backgrounds, and serve in all kinds of churches and ministries. In other words, none of us are the same. And so we need resources that give us various perspectives to help us run the race God has marked out for us. In my first book, The Church Planting Wife, I included interviews with various church planting wives. With my new book, I decided to do the interviews here instead so you can hear their voices and stories in detail and learn from their insights. I'm so excited to share these conversations with you this season. Today, we'll hear from three women about how they approach their role as pastor's wife: Jackie King, Irene Sun, and Abby Copeland. They serve in very different contexts, which you'll hear about today. We talk about how they view themselves and how others view them as a pastor's wife. We also discuss how they've discovered how God has gifted them and wants to use them within their churches. Several topics come up that you may find helpful, including comparison, insecurity, feeling the weight of the pastor's wife's title, and facing criticism. I hope as you listen, you are reminded that God has gifted you for where He's placed you, and that you'll be encouraged that you have sisters all over the map who are serving in Christ's name. First up today is Jackie King. Jackie is married to Josh, who is the pastor of Second Baptist in Conway, Arkansas. Here is our conversation. I am so excited to get to talk to my friend Jackie King today. Welcome, Jackie, to the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. It's such a joy.
Can you introduce yourself for those who don't know you and tell a little bit about where you're serving and the context of where you're serving?
Sure. I am a native Texan that as of 3 years ago has transplanted to a city in Arkansas. So it's Conway, Arkansas, kind of central, a little bit outside of Little Rock. And my husband serves as the lead pastor at Second Baptist Church. And then I've got the joy of being the minister to women there. So our life is all in this place. So
yes. When you say that, you mean you are on staff?
I am. Yes.
Full time?
No, not full time.
Okay.
Thankfully, I enjoy the flexibility.
Well, also because you have been doing seminary, which I think you just graduated, right?
I did. I just graduated this last May from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary with my master's. And so, yeah, taking a break from that and writing my first book. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things that God is doing that I am just holding on for the ride.
Yeah. I mean, we could do like 10 episodes just with your life and talk about all the things, because you're passionate about women in ministry. You are a woman in ministry. You're writing, which I want to know what you're writing. And you have done a lot with leadership and empowering women, encouraging women within the Southern Baptist Convention. So you've got a lot on your plate. Can we hear what you're writing about, or is that a secret?
Sure. No, it's going to be published 2022. And the title of the book is The Calling of Eve: How Women in the Bible Inspire Women of the Church. And so I am completely insecure and scared. And at that point where I know you can resonate with, to where it's just kind of like, I don't want to do this anymore. I have nothing to say. Uh-huh. Like, I need to start over. So it's definitely stretching in a lot of different ways.
Uh-huh. Oh, I get there every time, even though I've done it multiple times. I'm like, why am I doing this to myself? I don't have to do this to myself. And also, like, I get tired of myself, if that makes sense. Like, you're writing, you're hearing your own voice and your own words so much. And especially when you go back and are editing and rewriting, there's just times where I'm like, I just don't want to hear myself speaking to myself anymore.
Yeah, definitely. And like, how many different words can I say for the same thing? Like, And I'm a talker, which sadly, I'm sure everybody's going to kind of get with. So talking and being across the table from somebody I love, but having to put it on paper has been a whole new stretch of just trusting and Very much Insecure.
Well, it's going to be great. I can't wait to read it. And, you know, I'm sure everyone listening will be excited. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today, really the context of your book, because you really do value women in ministry, and you have a unique perspective because you are a pastor's wife, but at the same time, you are working on staff as a women's minister. And so That's a really unique spot to be in. And I'm wondering what are the tensions for you in that?
Goodness, there's a lot of tensions, to be honest. A lot of pros and cons. I think I almost kind of want to start with the pros because, you know, as a pastor's wife, we all have just unique skill sets, and we have unique personalities that we get to bring to the table alongside our husbands. And so not only am I getting a perspective as Josh's wife, but then I'm also giving a perspective of somebody that's on staff, that's trying to lead volunteers, that's trying to set vision, that's trying to execute an event under a budget. And so specifically even for Josh and I, it's kind of interesting because he's got somebody in his home that he's having to kind of walk through just what it looks like to be kind of on the ground in the ministry and leading lay leadership and those kind of things. And so, and then at the same time, like I'm a woman on staff, which thankfully I am alongside really talented and gifted women. But even that side of life, you know, is a little bit different. So it's a lot of unique characteristics that I think as a whole gives a really unique perspective, not only to being a member of the church, being a member in the kingdom, but then also what does that look like fleshing out as Josh's wife or as the women's minister or as just a regular member of the church, you know, and what they're expecting us to do. So it's unique, but it's also really kind of fun.
Yeah. Well, I'm imagining that you and your husband have had to have a lot of conversations about when are you going to talk about this? Do you even talk about like, now I'm putting on my wife hat or now I'm putting on my women's minister hat?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a little bit, especially here at our previous church, it was kind of just me and him and a few other staff. Here in Conway, we've got a much bigger staff, and I actually report to our executive pastor. So he's directly over me, which has kind of helped the dynamic a little bit. But yeah, Josh and I have definitely had to kind of learn how to enter into a conversation. And so, because sometimes he just wants me to be wife and listen and not be a staff member, you know, trying to figure out culture and vision and all of those things. And so a lot of times we'll go into a conversation and I will say, hey, I just need you to listen right now. You know, like, I don't need you to problem solve with me. Like, I'm frustrated over, you know, this interaction or this problem. What should I do? You know, those kind of things. And because I think his default, obviously being the leader, is okay, well, let's find a solution, you know, let's right. figure it out. Or why don't you do this? And so it's definitely been kind of a dance, a back and forth of learning. And I think even more to my core, because I have a lot of people pleasing in me, is really whenever it gets to decisions of, am I going to listen to what he would say? Or am I like solid on this decision enough and where God is leading me that I'm just going to move forward in what God is leading me to do? And so I think there's been a couple times to where I haven't gone necessarily with what he said. And sometimes that's been a good result. And sometimes that's been better, you know, just for me to kind of trust my gut and how God has gifted me in my leadership. So it's a dance for sure.
Well, one reason I wanted to pull several women onto this episode is to hear from different women who view their role, or not view the role differently, but navigate the role differently. And just that I want pastors' wives to hear that we all are different in the way that we approach it. And that's good. Each one is a good thing, as long as we're not totally, you know, disengaging and we're giving ourselves over to bitterness and all of that kind of thing, then we're doing it how God has made us and gifted us. And so a lot of pastors' wives see themselves as behind the scenes, like they're joyfully serving behind the scenes or supporting their husband. But then there are some who are maybe feel equally called into ministry and are more upfront leaders. And you are one of those people. And so I would love to know, how do you view your role as a pastor's wife? And how did you get to that point where you could embrace? I think sometimes behind the scenes, people think that the upfront pastor's wives are like, oh, this is, I fully embrace this. But sometimes I would say I'm more of an upfront leader too, but sometimes I feel like I stick out like a sore thumb. Like, am I doing this right? Am I, you know, overstepping boundaries or what? Yeah. And so I would love to hear your perspective on that.
Man, that's like a journey that I think I'm still trying to figure out all the intricacies of. I think even like I mentioned with the book, there's so many personal insecurities that I think go with leading, and especially being upfront. I think overall, what I'm seeing, especially from younger generations, that they are hungering for leadership. They want to see women using their gifts. They want to see women confidently coming alongside the men in our church and being able to know what we're talking about and be passionate about the gospel and what God is doing in lives. And so I think when I personally had that like longing of just wanting to see somebody ahead of me, using their gifts, using their leadership and their voice for the kingdom, and then not really necessarily seeing that consistently as a young woman, it caused a lot of insecurity because one, I hadn't had it modeled, but then two, it also gave just this passion of like, I'm not going to do this perfectly, but I want to bring everybody I can along with me. And so does being upfront allow for more criticism? Absolutely. But does it also allow for more influence and for more opportunity to be able to bring other people along? Then yes, that I feel is heavier. And so the criticism is something that I think the Lord and I have had to wrestle out with a lot, and that people pleasing God in my life. But then there's also this beautiful aspect of getting to see women own who they are, own the stories that God has given them, both the hard parts and the amazing parts, and then seeing them leverage that to the kingdom, where if they didn't have women ahead of them, I don't know that they would be as willing to take up that charge.
Mm-hmm. So do you view your role as an empowerer? How do you view your role specifically as the pastor's wife?
I like to call myself connector. But empowering, I think, is a great word as well. So I think one of the unique things from my seat is that because I am married to Josh, I have the privilege of getting to meet our new visitors. I get to see the people that are coming in as new members. You know, I'm upfront a little bit more. And so it's easier for them to come to me and ask a question than not knowing who to come to at all. And so one of the things that I love getting to do is listen to women and to say, hey, you're really gifted in this. You should go talk to, you know, Susie, who's great at decorating. I can't decorate for anything, you know, but she is so gifted and talented, and you need to get to know her. And so I think more so in the empowering element, but also the connecting of like, God has given us the church and he's made us a body, and we function better when we're functioning together. And so if I can put women together and men and women on different teams, you know, and just different skill sets, then that makes the church stronger. That makes our ministry stronger. And so it's a opportunity to be able to kind of have eyes on all different areas of the church. I help work in our college ministry and lead a small group for them on Sunday mornings. And so I love getting to pair our older women with our younger women and say, you need to go talk to her. And so it's not only just a gifting thing, it's a connectedness thing, which I think and that's how I'm wired, you know, strength finders, all of my strengths are rooted in relationship and connectedness. And so, I love the empowering. Yeah, I guess, but, I think that I have always seen myself as just kind of a connector of pieces, if that makes sense, a connector of people. And it's really kind of fun.
I think that's actually one of my favorite things too, about the influence that being a pastor's wife gives me, is I can use that to connect people, just as you said. Mm-hmm. And I think that is such a gift for, and you know, any pastor's wife out there who's kind of, maybe she's new in ministry and just trying to figure out, well, what can I do to benefit the church? That is one of the ways that you can benefit the church, is just connecting people together, connecting people and their gifts to ministries in the church, because you kind of have more of the bird's eye view of everything.
Yeah, right.
And that's a gift, and you can use that and bless people with that. But Jackie, I'm wondering, since you talked about not having a model, that you in some ways may have felt like you were a trailblazer in the sense of you're working on staff, but also you really consider yourself a leader in your own right. And so I wonder, you've talked about insecurities earlier, and I'm wondering, mm-hmm. have you ever struggled with that, that that's who God made you, and looking around at other pastors' wives and thinking, oh, well, you know, am I doing this right? Or should I be doing this differently? That kind of thing.
Yeah. I think early on, especially even before Josh and I got married, I was so scared, because my pastor's wife and my grandmother even was a pastor's wife. And they are amazing women of God. And I was nothing like them. And just very, not quiet necessarily, but just very kind of behind the scenes. They didn't talk a lot, more introverted. And I've never been that way. And so I was that girl that always had the talks too much comment on her report card. And so I remember thinking, like, I cannot do this, you know? And I think I equated leadership in my own abilities and in how God made me. And so surely God was not going to bring a pastor alongside, you know, like he gave me my own calling. And so as Josh and I were married early on, there was so much of a tension of that comparison, kind of like, I'm not like Miss Judy. I'm not like Granny. But then at the same time, trying to be them. And so I think one of the biggest things that was really helpful to me was just finally coming to an end of just being miserable, to be honest, you know, and like, and just trying to, I mean, I don't know how many meals I burned for people and was so embarrassed because I hate cooking and cooking stressed me out. And I don't know how to decorate things, you know, like, and that's not how God gifted me. And so until I really started to own and sit with Jesus and see, Jackie, this is the story I've given you, and this is the personality I've given you. And be able to lean more into who he has made me instead of trying to become somebody else. That's really when I started to flourish, I think. And when I started to see how cool God is to bring, Josh and I are both very strong leaders. We're both type A's. Like, we joke that we're raising three type A's. I mean, we're very like dominant personalities. And so even in that, I think it's like, God, what are you doing? You know, it's supposed to be the opposites attracts thing. And it has been so beautiful to see how God has taken those strengths and weaknesses and allowed us to lead and love one another and lead and love the church. And so, yes, oh my gosh. And insecurity is still very much a thing, but I think usually that insecurity is peeking its head whenever I'm looking at other people instead of looking at how God made me and what he's put in front of me and how to be faithful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a part of embracing our role that involves learning who we're not just as much as who we are, and embracing that we are not, you know, and there may be things that are what we would say typical pastor's wife, although every pastor's wife says they're not the typical pastor's wife, but things that we think we should do. And it's taken me a long time to go, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. And I embrace that because mm-hmm. it leaves me room to be who I am and to embrace who God has made me and how he wants me to serve. He does want me to serve in certain ways, but there's a lot of things that I can cross off the list too. And I always tell that to my kids, like when my oldest, who's like, I don't know what I want to major in. I'm like, it's just as important to cross off what you know you are. Don't want to major in, as mm-hmm. it is to know what you do want to major in.
Yeah.
So I think that's a process, and it's taken me a long time.
Yes.
You mentioned criticism, and I'm wondering if you receive criticism or maybe perceive criticism related to how you fill up the role of pastor's wife, specifically this leadership, more the leadership and less of the, maybe the things that people might expect, especially in a Southern context.
Yeah. Criticism comes in a lot of different ways, not necessarily from our church. I think because Josh and I are such strong leaders, even just within our denomination, and this would be a whole nother podcast for another day, but how strong woman leadership automatically is equated to trying to take the pastorate or trying to diminish the value of the men leaders in our lives. And so even this last year has honestly been a really hard season of just taking some of that criticism and that speculation. But I also think it's been an opportunity to be able to display that good, strong leadership in men and women is God's design, and all the way back to the garden, and that being able to work alongside one another and reflect the Trinity, and to be able to strengthen one another in how we lead and how we go out and share the gospel is exactly what not only the planet needs, but what our churches need. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of checking my own heart and sitting with Jesus and saying, okay, God, you know, like, where am I doing this out of selfish motive? Where am I trying to do this to prove myself? Because criticism can become such a idol in my life. And so constantly laying it down and saying, I know these are good gifts that you have given me. I know that my heart is willing to walk into hard things in order to show your glory and your goodness. And so help me to be faithful in that. And sometimes that means a lot of comments from the bleachers. But a lot more times it means that I'm getting to see God work in bigger ways than I could have even expected.
Mm. Is there anything you want to set the record straight on, Jackie?
Yeah, I'm not trying to be the pastor. I don't want to be the pastor, which is so ironic, you know, like, especially from the seat as a pastor's wife and seeing all that they walk through. And I mean, we are the closest to it, right? And it's like, no, I don't want that job. Like, right. No.
And it's, and I know you would say too, like, biblically, I don't think that that's appropriate for me to be the pastor. And also, I don't want to be the pastor.
Yep. Yep. Complementarian all the way, but absolutely believe in God's design of man and woman together.
Yes.
Working alongside one another.
Yes. Well, thanks for that clarification. And I appreciate how you are leading out in your church, and also you're doing what you wanted to see. Is you're modeling leadership, and young women can see that and come behind you and go, oh, okay, there is a place for me in the church. And that's important to me too. And I think for the women in my church, you know, I have this title, pastor's wife, but even more so, it's not really about a role. It's not really about a title, but just using your influence to encourage, to empower, and to connect people, as we've talked about. Everyone can do that.
Yes, so. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Jackie. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I love Jackie, and I also love my next guest, Irene Sun. Irene has actually been on the podcast before, talking about raising pastor's kids. Irene is a pastor's kid herself, and she's raising 4 boys. So in that episode, which I will link to in my show notes, she gives such excellent insight on helping our kids love God and His church. But today, I asked Irene to jump into this conversation about the pastor's wife's role. Irene is married to Hans, who is a pastor of Pittsburgh Chinese Church. Here is my conversation with Irene. I'm excited to have another friend of mine speaking to the role of the pastor's wife. And we're really doing this because we want to hear that women approach this role differently. And so I'm excited to get to talk to Irene Sun. Welcome, Irene.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Will you tell my listeners a little bit about you and where you're serving?
Yes. So I am Irene Sun, and I'm the wife of Hans Sun, who is a pastor in Pittsburgh Chinese Church.
Yes. And you're brand new to that role, which is so fun. And I'm excited that you guys are serving there. And you've said to me before, when we've talked about being a pastor's wife, you've told me that in Chinese churches, that there's a certain title that pastor's wives have. What is that title? And what does it mean for us English speakers?
So in the Chinese churches, the title in Chinese is called 师母, 师母. And literally translated, it means pastor's mother, actually. So it's like she has a role of she's a pastor's wife, but you would address her as 师母, as though she's like the mother of the church, because Mu is the character for mother. And so it's interesting because I grew up in a pastor's home in a Chinese context. And so my mother was always called 师母. And so when I came to Pittsburgh Chinese Church and some people started calling me 师母, I would often look behind me and go, wait, is my mom here? Why are you calling me that? And it's a scary title for me because I know the cost of what it means to bear the weight of that title in my parents' ministry. And so now that I have settled, I wouldn't say I'm settled, but now that we've transitioned to Pittsburgh Chinese Church and having some of our congregation members endearingly call me by the title that I grew up with my mom, it's a weighty thing. It's a weighty, but I want to say like joyful thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You've also, how old are you? Do you mind me asking? Oh,
no. In fact, I am turning 40 next month.
What? You look like you're like 25.
Oh, thanks. Well, I do have a 13-year-old son.
That's true. That's true. I should have put two and two together. But you've also said that that is something that's been a little intimidating, is moving into this role and you're serving women who are sometimes generations, decades older than you. Is that the weight that you feel with the role, or is it the way that Chinese or Asian Americans view the pastor's wife? Can you explain what the weight is that you feel?
Yeah, the weight, I think, is simply the desire to be a good pastor's wife. And it's such an oxymoron because nobody is good. And so daily, I have to go back to the gospel over and over again, that I am covered by the righteousness of Christ and not by my own performance, that my identity is not being in a good 师母 or good pastor's wife or a good helper or a good mother. I just have to cross that word out of my vocabulary because I am not good and I am not competent and I am not capable, but it is the Lord who is courageous and the Lord who is strong, and I am not strong and courageous. And so I think the weight is because although I try to tell myself the gospel every morning about being covered in the righteousness of Christ, but when I come face to face with people, I continue to feel the pressure of faith plus works, mm-hmm. that my salvation is faith in God, but also good works in myself. And I need to really fight against that temptation.
Mm-hmm. How do you view your role? Do you think of yourself as a spiritual mother, or what, when you think of what you do? Now, so we want to make sure we say pastor's wife is not the identity of who we are, but it does tell us what we do and how we can serve God. So how do you view your role?
I think Elizabeth Elliot has a phrase that has helped me tremendously. And the two words that she used are visible example. We are the visible faces of our invisible God. We are his representative. And so in being his representative, we are called to behold him and not behave. Behold and not behave. And I think that has helped me tremendously as I'm walking through the hallways of our church, as I'm shaking people's hand, well, in COVID is more like waving at people, you know, with my mask on and telling them, I'm smiling, you just can't see it. but to just continue to remember that I am to behold God and that he's not calling me to behave or to put out a good performance, but that I continually put my faith in Christ and the cross and to keep my eyes on him.
I love that. Behold, not behave. That is the foundation for how, no matter what role women who are listening play, whether they're a youth pastor's wife or they're a missionary or they work for a peer church, we all are called to behold. And from that, love, God's love can flow through us. So thank you, Irene, for that. That's so helpful.
So I am called to be a visible example, and visible example are allowed to make mistakes, and visible examples are allowed to fail. Visible examples are allowed to forget meetings or forget that reimbursement form or to make mistakes. And I don't need to be perfect or to be good, but that I can be a visible example of God's grace in my life, who is being renewed day by day by beholding Jesus Christ, my Lord.
Finally, I want to introduce to you today Abby Copeland. Abby and her husband planted Renaissance Church in Montreal about 5 years ago. Abby shares how she views her role, both as a church planting wife and as a pastor's wife in a very secular culture. It's very fascinating to talk to her. So here, friends, is my third and final conversation for today with Abby Copeland. I am super excited to welcome Abby Copeland to the podcast. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
Can you introduce yourself and tell us where you're serving, maybe a little bit about your family, but also a little bit about your church?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Abby Copeland, and my husband is James, and we've been married for 14 years. We have four kids. Annabelle is in seventh grade. Maya is in sixth grade. Brock is in second grade. And our youngest, Lottie, is three. So we are originally from Southwest Missouri, but we've now made our home in Montreal, Quebec, where my husband is the pastor of Renaissance Church, a church that we've been privileged to help plant and lead for the last 5 years. So we are in a neighborhood here in Montreal called Little Burgundy, and it's a very diverse neighborhood. And we are intentionally an English church plant in a city. Our city is bilingual. French and English are the two languages. And so we are an English church plant, reaching the English speakers in our community and in the communities around us. And we've seen God do some pretty amazing things over the last 5 years, and we're thankful for it.
I've actually been to Montreal and visited you. I haven't been to the church, but I've been to Montreal and experienced what you just described. And it's a beautiful place, a wonderful place. And I say that having come in December when it was freezing.
Yeah. you have to be brave to visit in the winter, for sure. It's a much different city in the winter than it is in the summer. So,
but I did love it. But it is a very secular, non-religious context that you are in and you came from. I would imagine, I'm not from Missouri, but a very much more religious context. And so I'm wondering how you experience that just as a Christian. And then I'd love to hear how you experience it as a pastor's wife.
So yeah, it's been an interesting experience, you know, coming from, you know, we lived in the Bible Belt in Southwest Missouri. And so there was, you know, the church on every corner, there was church culture there. It was, you know, kids could go to school and have, you know, Christian friends and just Christian community in a different way. And so the moving here and realizing, you know, that there is no church culture, that there is, you know, the things that we value are not widely valued here and things like that. So it's been different. And I think that it's been challenging for me to learn how to communicate and how to really build relationships with people outside of a church context, in hopes of bringing them in to our church and watching them discover, you know, Jesus and hopefully trust in him. And so, yeah, it's different. It's different as a parenting in a context where, you know, your kids go to school and they don't have Christian friends and they may never, and you know, all kinds of different ideas and things being thrown at them. So it's definitely been different, but at the same time, you know, it's been a way that the Lord has grown me for sure over the last 5 years.
One thing, Abby, I remember you saying to me when I was there, because I was kind of talking about the role of the pastor's wife. And I remember you saying, I don't know if you remember this, but you said, oh, well, here people don't really have a concept of what a pastor's wife is. I don't feel the same pressures that maybe someone in Missouri might feel because of having kind of the church more religious context there. So I'm wondering how, because we're talking about the role of the pastor's wife. So I'm wondering how people in your context, both inside and outside the church, view the role of the pastor's wife there in Montreal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would definitely say that I would still say the same thing today, that it's an idea or a concept that doesn't really exist. Like the fact that the pastor's wife has a role or plays a role, you know, on the whole, most people think of like a priest when they learn that James is a pastor, like that's the image that comes into their mind. And then they're quite confused when they see that he's, you know, he's not wearing a clerical collar and he's married, which, you know, marriage isn't even something that's valued in this culture. So that the idea of that is really different for people. And they don't, you know, they definitely don't understand why we moved our entire family to another country to start a church. Like that's unknown to them. So yeah, outside of the church for sure, there's no, it doesn't really exist like this. If you were to say, ask someone, you know, what do you think about a pastor's wife or what, you know, they would be like, is that a thing? Like, I don't understand that, you know? So it's definitely, it has its freedoms for sure, because there are little expectations, if any, of course, within the church, depending on someone's background, you know, they may come in with some expectations on a pastor's wife, but on the whole, yeah, that just really doesn't exist. It's not really something that people really think about.
So has that been freeing for you? Is that like, how do you feel about that?
It has been freeing, I think, you know, and we came from an incredible church in Southwest Missouri where there were no, you know, huge expectations put on me. He was in student ministry and then in the missions pastor. And so I wasn't coming from a place where I had experienced a lot of expectations, but even coming here and really having no, you know, real expectations, I think it was freeing. But at the same time, the ambiguity of it can also be a little confusing of saying, okay, well, where do I fit and what do I do? And is this too much? Is this too little? Those kinds of things, of course, I wrestled with.
Yeah. And I think every pastor's wife, no matter their context, wrestles with that, whether they feel expectation or not. I think especially in church planting, it's like, what am I supposed to be doing here? So I'm wondering how do you view your role as the wife of a pastor?
Yeah, I you know, I've been blessed in my life to have a lot of great women who were pastors' wives model for me in different ways how to stand with and work with and support your husband as a pastor. And so a lot of the way I view it comes from those influences. You know, I was able to kind of just watch and learn. I highly value learning from people that are ahead of me in the journey. And so watching and learning. And so I would say my view of my role as a pastor's wife is that I'm a teammate. I'm James's teammate and we're in this together and that we're a team. And that's kind of how we have approached it from the beginning, is just that we are a team. And you know, because we're a growing church, we have a relatively small staff team, which they're amazing, but at the same time, we're just small. I do have a lot of different, you know, I do wear a lot of different hats in ministry right now. And, you know, but I enjoy that. And I don't think it would be different if we were to be larger or to have, I do enjoy, you know, being involved and leading and you know, being there again, working as a team, definitely see it as that's just kind of how we've always seen it. And that's even, you know, that's how we talk about it with our kids, is that this is a team, we're a team and we're serving the Lord together in this, and, you know, working side by side, I think is just how we've always done it.
Mm-hmm. When you say teammate, what does that look like? Can you give us an example?
Yeah. So for example, as a teammates, you know, using, I have a sports background, so I'll just go with the sports analogy here. Teammates have different functions at different times and different seasons. And so you learn your role and you learn your function in that sense. So there have been times where, you know, at like right now, where the thing that's needed is to organize and kind of run the children's ministry for our church. And so from top to bottom, building volunteers, curriculum, all of those different things. And so that's in this season. That's something that is a way that I can step up and kind of contribute. And so, yeah. And then there have been other seasons where maybe my function has been more of just a prayer warrior and supporter and encourager of my husband, and a little more behind the scenes. And so I think it can change in the seasons. And I think that's kind of what that looks like for me to be his teammate.
Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how you know. I know church planning wives are listening and they're thinking, okay, there's some things that I have to do, which I want to talk about that in a second. But how do you know what God is wanting you to do in the season that you're in? How have you, Abby, discovered that or discerned that?
I've learned from failure, from saying yes to too many things and then kind of wiping out and just being just utterly exhausted. And but then at the same time, I think it comes in just that daily abiding in Christ. There's not a secret formula that you can kind of plug in all these things and then push enter and get this is what you should do. It's when we're daily abiding in Christ and living the life of a disciple of Jesus, then we're going to be more aware of where he's leading us and what he's asking us to do. And then all we're asked to do in that instance is just to obey. And so sure, there are times where it's a little less clear. And the way I approach those is I kind of just put one step in front of the other until I trip or until a door closes. And then we say, okay, that's obviously not for now. And we'll try something different. So,
mm-hmm. Well, can we go back to what I just mentioned? I wanted to ask about, cause I know there are many church planning wives out there who are wondering, how do you do the things well and with joy that you aren't particularly interested in, but you have to do them because it's needed in the season?
Going back to the teammate analogy, I think in order to have a successful team, you kind of have to just have the understanding that we're all gonna play a part and contribute. And sometimes it might not be our strength that we're bringing to the table. Sometimes it might be something else that we're bringing to the table. But in order for us to function, in order for us to, for the, you know, the mission to be accomplished, whatever it might be, you just kind of step into something. And of course you build systems around yourself of people who are speaking into your life who will recognize, you know, if you are burning out and you are, you know, exhausted, that you have people that are like, will call you and say, hey, are you sure this is the right thing? But I think there's a bit of sacrifice, I guess, in some sense involved in it, of just saying, you know what, our call is to be here. Our call is to church planting or whatever it may be. Our call is here and we're clear on that. And so we have to understand that sometimes there might be parts of that, of the fleshing out of that call that aren't super enjoyable to us, but that we can do with joy because we know that God is at work and this is God's calling on our life.
Mm-hmm. So as we're talking about finding our role as a pastor's wife, I want to emphasize to everyone listening that we all approach it differently, right? And that's one of the beautiful things or the joyful things about being a pastor's wife. It took me a long time to realize that, because what I did when I first started and when we started in church planning, I did it again. Look around at people who are doing it and try to imitate or emulate them. And sometimes that's not bad. Like you described, people that had been before you who were a good model for you and you look to that, and that's not necessarily bad. But sometimes when we try to just imitate and not know what God has specifically gifted us for, it can cause a lot of problems, right? And so I'm wondering, did you ever struggle or have you ever struggled with comparison with other pastors' wives?
Yeah, for sure. I think if there's a pastor's wife out there who says she hasn't, then she's probably not being truthful, because I think it's just part of life to some degree. I think I was fortunate early on in ministry. Instagram wasn't really a thing yet. You know, social media had just kind of taken off to some degree. So I didn't have that like instant like way to compare or way to see what other people were doing. It wasn't as instant. And I'm thankful for that, because I think I probably would have struggled with it a whole lot more. Not to say that now, of course, there's that pull to, you know, open, you know, Instagram and scroll through pictures and kind of jump into that comparison. But, you know, I just have to remind myself that there's little profit in doing that. And so going back to kind of some of, you know, how much I've learned from others, of just some of the pastor's wives that I admire the most, like, they don't have social media. And if they do, you don't really see, there's not a whole lot of posting, sharing. Like, they live in some sense just quiet lives. You don't hear a lot about what they're doing or how they're serving. And I think that's just kind of always how I've hoped to be as well. And there's wisdom, I think, there that we can learn from them. That yes, there's a great benefit to being able to, for me to get on, you know, social media and see what's happening at my friend in North Carolina's church and what she and her husband are seeing happen in their church. And I can celebrate with her. And so it's, for that reason, it's a good thing, but it can also pull us into a pit of comparison. And yeah, I've definitely struggled with that, and, you know, still do from time to time, for sure.
Is there any sort of biblical truth that you turn to when you start thinking, I need to be doing what she's doing, or I should have the gifts that she has?
Yeah, I think I go back to kind of to repeat what I said before, but John 15 is kind of where I go, where it's just talking about abiding in Christ and being connected to the vine. And, you know, when I'm connected to anything else, it's just going to be comparison or discouragement or, you know, wishing that I could be doing more or whatever it might be. But when you're connected to the vine, you know, Jesus says there, like, whoever is abiding in me, it's him that bears much fruit. But the fruit comes from the abiding. It doesn't come from our working and our striving and, you know, our doing it like somebody else does it. It comes from Christ in us. And so I think that for me, that's that biblical truth that anchors me.
Friends, thanks so much for listening to By Faith. As always, you can find resources and links in the show notes for the episode on your podcast platform or on my website, christinehoover.net. I've also recently created a website where I've collected all of my writing, podcast episodes, and books for women in ministry. You can find that at howtothriveasapastorswife.com. That's, of course, the name of my new book. And there you can find tons of resources, including the books and articles that have been most meaningful to me in my own ministry. Join me next week as I talk with Ashlyn Portero. Ashlyn serves on executive staff at her church in Tallahassee, Florida. We talk together about men and women working together on church staff, what she's learned about leadership, and how her singleness informs her ministry. Until then, friends, have a great week and keep walking forward by faith.